So I'll just read the next text and then we'll go on to the word, word, word synonyms. Tam aksharam ramaparam parisham avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam atindriyam sukshmam ivati duram anantam adhyam paripurnamide. So word by word synonyms. Ekantinaha. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than Krishna consciousness. Yasya, the Lord of whom? Na, not. Kanchana, some. Artam, benediction. Vanchante, desire. Yay, those devotees who? Bye, indeed. Bhagavat prapanaha, fully surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord. Ati adbhutam, which are wonderful. Tacharitam, the activities of the Lord. Sumangalam, and very auspicious to hear. Gayantaha, by chanting and hearing. Ananda, of transcendental bliss. Samudra, in the ocean. Magnaha, who are immersed, that means submerged. Tam, unto him. Aksharam, eternally existing. Brahma, the supreme. Param, transcendental. Parahisham, the Lord of the Supreme Personalities. Avyaktam, invisible, or not able to be realized by the mind and senses. Adhyatmika, transcendental. Yoga, by bhakti yoga, devotional service. Gamyam, obtainable. Bhakti mama vijananti. Ati indram, beyond the perception of material senses. Shukshmam, minute. Eva, like. Atiduram, very far away. Anantam, unlimited. Adyam, the original cause of everything. Paripurnam, completely full. Ide, I offer my obeisances. So translation, unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, He is beyond the search of the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited, He is the original cause, and He is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto Him. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anya vilashita shunyam yana karmanyana avritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutabhav. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first chapter, first part, text 11. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes, when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer, there is also regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform in which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is a completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy. This is Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, "Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam," indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. Of course, heritage means they were born in a no heritage means they were born in a real bad family. And heritage means they were born in a devotee family. That's what heritage means. That is actually being seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of bhakti yoga is the spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhaktya kham ekya graya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, text 1, Maya Shakta Manaparta Yoga Yumjan Madashrayaha Asamsayam Samagramam Yatagyasasi Yasyasi Tatsrinu. Now hear, O son of Pritha Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. So Om Ganata Mirandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's very interesting here that Gajendra is praying to the Lord because he's in trouble. And he's lamenting about that. That, you know, I'm not pure, but, you know, somehow or other I'm praying for this. So he's honest. As we mentioned in previous classes, it's always good to be honest about one's situation in devotional service. And pray according to one's particular situation, but also lament that one's not on a higher platform. And so if we find ourselves praying, and we should be honest, as I said before, then we lament. Why do I have to pray like this? But I do because I'm not quite on that platform. Like you have Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was asking for all these benedictions, finally he achieved pure devotional service, he was lamenting. What was his lamentation? His lamentation was, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, that's from the Haribhakti Shudaya, and I have found a wonderful gem. So he was very embarrassed by his prayers like that, materialistic prayers. And a pure devotee does not pray for anything materialistic, anything basically personal other than pure devotional service. He does pray for that. He does pray to become a pure devotee. So, just like the example of Parikshit Maharaj, who was a pure devotee. I think everybody knows Parikshit Maharaj. He saw Krishna while he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara. He was saved by Krishna. He's called Vishnu Rata. He was saved by the Lord. After the Brahmastra was fired by Ashwatthama. So, when he was cursed, so we're contrasting Gajendra's situation here with Parikshit Maharaj's situation. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days from the bite of the snake bird, Takshaka, he was cursed, of course, by this Brahmin boy, Sringi, because Sringi was upset that he thought his father had been defamed or improperly dealt with. So Parikshit Maharaj could have easily counteracted the curse. He could have, many ways. He's a pure devotee. Pure devotees have all mystic powers. Just like Prabhupada. When he arrived one time, I was with him, he arrived in Dallas, Texas. He said to the devotees and the reporters, I could have come by mantra. I could have come even by magic carpet, he said. You know magic carpet? You see this in Arabia, you know, there's people write a magic. Prabhupada said that. I mean, it's actually interesting. But I came by airplane. And they asked Prabhupada, why did you come by airplane? Why didn't you just come by mantra? It's a lot cheaper. And Prabhupada said, to be one with you. In other words, just to fit in. That was Prabhupada's reply at that particular point. I had arranged the reception for Prabhupada with the media at that particular time. So it was a very interesting reply. So the devotees have all mystic powers. So Parikshit Maharaj could have counteracted that curse immediately. Or he could have prayed to Krishna. Hey, Krishna, save me. Let this Brahmin's curse come to nothing. Let it come to null. Let it be nullified. But instead, he said, let whatever the Brahmin has cursed me, let it come. But let me remember Krishna at the time of death. So, you know, he took the pure devotee's attitude. And you see other pure devotees, too, who are not asking for relief. In fact, you have Vasudev Dat, who is asking for the opposite of relief. You know, most of us, if we were in pain, or when we're in pain, don't we cry out, Krishna, help! But Vasudev Dat is asking for more pain to save us. He's saying, let me suffer everybody's karma. Let them all go back to Godhead, and I'll just stay here forever. Wow. So you contrast his prayer with the prayer of Gajendra here, and you'll see it's quite different. Of course, Gajendra is a great devotee. I mean, obviously much higher, greater, and he's gone back to Godhead, etc., like that. You know, at this point, he's pure devotee. But still, we can contrast these different types of prayers. So I was actually thinking about why does a pure devotee pray? And of course, we gave an example of Vasudev Dat. Pure devotees also pray for their own personal purification. Like, you know, I pulled out this songbook, thinking about this. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur has this very, very nice song, or poem, whatever you may call it, called Gopinath. And he's taking a very humble position, Dayanu, which means humility. He says, Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, please hear my request. I am a wicked materialist, always addicted to worldly desires and no good qualities I possess. O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and therefore I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I'm just summarizing some of these things. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. So here is a devotee. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not actually a conditioned soul. He's a Nityasiddha devotee. However, he's acting as if he were a conditioned soul for our benefit. So he's showing us how to pray. Because without the pure devotee showing us how to pray, we would not know how to pray. We'd be simply like doing Satyanarayan Katha all the time, right? Or like this Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Or like in Christianity, there's our Christian friend back there. So in Christianity, it's considered that you have God's grace if you're rich, isn't it? And he was just telling me yesterday that if you're rich, you get so much attention at the church. They do an RT to you or something. Not really, but they say, oh, this rich man has come. Wow. You can become a deacon. Actually, in America, deacon means the people who support the church, the people who have money. And you think deacon would mean something spiritual, but it doesn't really. I have one disciple who's a Baptist minister, and he was telling me how the people who run the church are not actually are very materialistic, not very spiritual. And they're concerned with money. So anyway, so Bhaktivedanta Thakur is showing us how to pray, how we should pray. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us how to pray. Obviously, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Jamani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Hoitiki. Obviously, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has no attachment to Dhanam and Janam and Sundarim. He's the source of all the Dhanam, Janam, Sundari. Just like you have Naranarayan Rishis. The demigods thought, Indra thought, they were going to lure Naranarayan Rishis to fall down by bringing some of the dancing girls from the heavenly planets, right? And spring. They brought them all down, you know, ching ching, whatever they did. And they were dancing in front of Naranarayan Rishis, and Naranarayan Rishis, they just yawned. And then, Narayan Rishi, he produced a more beautiful girl from his own body. And that was Urvasi. That's the source of Urvasi. She came from Narayan. And so he showed, you know, what am I interested in this stupid stuff for? You know, I can give you something better. And he offered to the demigods, instead of pure devotional service, he offered them her. He said, if you're really interested, take her home with you. Right? And so they took her. Urvasi became like the chief apsara in the heavenly planets. I mean, Indra just went, she wasn't there when she came down to have some relationship with Pururuva. Indra was feeling like really morose without her, isn't it? And he sent the Gandharvas to bring her back. That's another story in the Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya is not interested in Dhanam. What's he going to do with beautiful women? I mean, he had a first-class chaste wife, and he just took sannyas. So Dhanam Janam Sundarim, and wealth, he's the possessor of all the wealth. But he's showing us, like Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya is like a school teacher who goes up to the blackboard or the writing board at the front of the class and says to the class, how much is one and one? He knows, but he's asking the question and he's showing how to do it. The teacher has to show you how to do mathematics or show you how to do different things like that. That's how you learn, by example, right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing us an example of how one should think. Oh Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your lotus feet. And that's, of course, an indication of what we call lalyam too, intense hankering for pure devotional service. So he's teaching us many things by this prayer. And also, as a pure devotee, he's feeling like he isn't a materialistic rascal. That's another point. If someone is actually a pure devotee, he feels like he's the most fallen. So it's not something that he's just like making believe. He actually feels like that. So there's many reasons like that. So what I wanted to talk about too today was Srila Prabhupada's prayers. Because we were actually celebrating Srila Prabhupada's 50th anniversary of ISKCON, the institution of ISKCON in New York. It's not quite the date yet. And I'm sure there'll be many festivities and programs here about that. But Prabhupada wrote several prayers, one of which I don't have here, which is Vrindavan Bhajan, which is one of my favorite prayers. But several prayers, either two prayers I'm thinking of, one on the boat coming over, and the other one is called Amarik Kine Bhagavat Dharma. And I'd like to explain what Prabhupada is doing in these prayers. These are the prayers of a pure devotee. Not praying for himself. You'll notice that in these prayers, there is no prayer or no statement that Prabhupada is asking for safety for himself. Even when Prabhupada had those heart attacks on the boat coming over, Prabhupada didn't pray to Krishna, stop the heart attacks. Isn't it? What to speak of crying out in pain? Prabhupada didn't say, no, Krishna, stop the pain, stop the heart attacks. But what Prabhupada prayed for, first of all, in this first prayer, a prayer to the lotus feet of Krishna, this was done on the boat on September 10th, 1965. And Prabhupada wrote this wonderful prayer. Prabhupada was a poet, too. Some of his poetry is actually in English. He wrote English poetry, too, but here, these are Bengali poems. So first of all, what he does here in this prayer is he glorifies his spiritual master. I'll read some of this. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that's the type of prayer. You glorify Krishna or you glorify Krishna's devotees. So this is another type of prayer. We mentioned before with Vasudev Dat, there's a pure devotees are praying for the welfare of others. But here, and with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pure devotees are praying for purification to give us an example. And in this particular case, we have a pure devotee praying to glorify, in the beginning, to glorify his spiritual master. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. So Prabhupada is also here indicating his dedication to the desire of his spiritual master. I mean, there's many things we can learn from this, but just this one statement, that if one becomes the first-class servant of his spiritual master, in other words, first-class knowing the desire and carrying out the desire, even without being asked, that's a first-class servant, then you can accomplish the mission of the spiritual master, which here Prabhupada writes down or spells out for us. The mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is spread through all the countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. So Prabhupada here is showing his faith in the order of his spiritual master. Just like there was some story when Prabhupada was talking about, he was talking about how Lord Chaitanya's name, it was in India, he was discussing with someone, how Lord Chaitanya's name will be spread in every town and village. And Prabhupada said, of course, his godbrothers thought it was just a metaphorical statement. Metaphorical or just a poetic statement. It wasn't actually going to happen. And then some person, devotee, asked Prabhupada, how will it happen? And Prabhupada said, any fool will do it. In other words, In other words, Prabhupada was saying, basically, anyone who accepts the spiritual master, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a dog can swim an ocean, a lame man can walk and climb mountains, and a blind man can see. So Prabhupada was indicating that his dependence, absolute humble dependence on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's empowerment. Or as Prabhupada would say, the order of the spiritual master has within it the success potency of the Lord. So there's many things in this poem you can unpack to understand. And so Prabhupada goes on more about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And then he begs Lord Chaitanya, who are his Guru Maharaj's mercy, then he begs Lord Chaitanya to become worthy. He says, therefore, my Lord, I am now begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced. So now he's asking something. He's asking for empowerment. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth, one's life becomes successful. And then Prabhupada sort of reveals his greatly exalted position, remembering the spiritual world or meditating on it. He says, Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. Of course, Prabhupada is taking our position. If today the chance to meet you occurs, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. Oh, dear friend, in your company, I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning, I will wander about the coward pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Braj. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? And finally, Prabhupada ends, I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. I mean, these are pure devotees' prayers. Not save me, but pure devotees, bring me to this platform, enable me to be with you, enable me to be pleasing to my spiritual master, save the conditioned souls. I mean, this is how a pure devotee prays. I'm just contrasting this with Gajendra's prayers right here. And then next, I'm just going to read a few excerpts from Prabhupada's wonderful prayer. It's called Markanay Bhagavat Dharma, when Prabhupada arrived in Boston Harbor in 1965. And here, in this prayer, it's very interesting. Prabhupada is actually giving his realizations about the Western world. Like many of you are enthusiastic to go to New Zealand, America, isn't it? Whatever. And Prabhupada here says, and the second verse is very interesting. The first verse is, you are so kind, Lord Krishna, upon this useless soul. I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. And then the second verse is, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? So Prabhupada here is actually pointing out his exalted position and his realization. That's another type of prayer. This is a terrible place, this America. But you are thinking, that is the land of my dreams. Like when I'm in America, I ask some of the people come from India, how many times have you been to Disney World? Everybody, or has anyone been? Everybody raised their hand. Anyone been 10 times? Everybody's gone 10 times. Because if Prabhupada said, actually, I don't want to insult anybody, but anyway, Prabhupada said the people who go to the West in search for enjoyment, they're the new crows. New crows. You know what a crow is? A crow is an animal. You have crows here. Crows in India, they're big crows, they eat stool. And so Prabhupada said the people who live in the West, they're the old crows. In other words, they gotten tired of stool and they're ready to take up Krishna consciousness. But the people who go and migrate, they're the new crows. Because they're still enthusiastic about eating the rejected remnants of modern civilization. You understand? So Prabhupada is here, saying here, this terrible place. And then he's indicating why it's a terrible place. Most of the population here is covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. They think themselves happy and satisfied. I do not know, I'm just paraphrasing here, how they will be able to understand the message of Vasudeva. He's probably thinking, these people are crazy. They're just like dogs. These are the prayers of a pure devotee. How are they going to understand the Bhagavatam, you know, which is near Matsvaranam Sattam? For those who are actually free of these things, Daiva, Kaitavo, Tra, these things, free of cheating propensities. I mean, it's like going to a zoo. Prabhupada is revealing, it's like I'm going to the zoo to preach to the animals. It's interesting, isn't it? And then Prabhupada said, but by your causeless mercy you can make everything possible. Because you are the most expert mystic. He's praying to Krishna. I'm simply praying, O Lord, for your mercy so that I may be able to convince them about your message. I wish that you may deliver them. So then he gets in the mood. I'm skipping some of it here. Of Vasudeva Dat. I wish you may deliver them. He's just praying out of compassion. So that's a type of prayer, the compassion. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. And then he glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. That's why Prabhupada and the Bhagavatam says that by regular attendance of Bhagavatam class and rendering service of pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes diminished almost to nil. That's why Bhagavatam is very important to hear every day. And then Prabhupada says, by hearing the Bhagavatam, he will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion. And then Prabhupada shows his humility here. So try to understand the moods of these sorts of prayers. He said, how can I make them understand this message? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from the unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, this is a very important verse here. I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. So Prabhupada here is showing his sharanagati, you know, absolute surrender. Whatever you like. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the last Shikshashikam, you can crush me by your embrace. You can leave me broken by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. And you'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So there is not a tinge of personal motive in the prayers of Srila Prabhupada. You can examine prayers and see someone's spiritual position. And then ultimately Prabhupada shows his abject humility here in the last line. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purpose of Bhaktivedanta. The Prabhupada signs this, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA. So, one of the items of devotional service, important items, is to recite, if you read the Nectar Devotion, recite notable prayers. That's one of the important items of devotional service. So recite and study these prayers of the Acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote some prayers too. And you can enter into the bhav, or the mood of the pure devotee, and try to imbibe their spirit by doing so. And of course we read Gajendra's prayers too, and we see how a devotee who is attempting to become purified, we can pray too. So any questions or comments about any of these points? This is important. We should read regularly Prabhupada's prayers. One, as I mentioned before, the one prayer that really inspires me is this Vrindavan Bhajan, where Prabhupada is revealing his mind after just leaving his family. He's basically saying, I'm sitting alone. I don't have it written here, but I'm trying to remember. I'm sitting alone here in Vrindavan. I have my family. And he says, but because I have no money, they're not interested, basically not interested in me anymore. They're just a list of names, Prabhupada says there. And then he goes on in this Vrindavan Bhajan prayer to actually glorify the preaching process. And he says, he actually criticizes those who want to sit in Vrindavan and just chant. He says, those people who sit in Vrindavan and just chant, they're eating the mind's bananas. In other words, they're crazy. He said, the real devotee is he who goes out and preaches. So even as Prabhupada was sitting, there's so much you can learn from these prayers. Even as Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan chanting, writing his Bhagavatam, he was planning on carrying out the mission of his spiritual master. He was preparing to carry out the mission of his spiritual master. So these are the prayers of great devotees. So any questions or comments? We got about one more minute for class. Questions, comments, arguments? Yeah. The Shishastika prayers can be understood indicating the different stages of devotional service, beginning with the Do Shraddha Tata, Sadhu Sangota, Bhajanakriya, ultimately up to Prema. There's different ways of analyzing the Shishastika prayers. Also, the Acharyas have analyzed them in terms of the Ashtakaliya Leela. Everyone knows what the Ashtakaliya Leela is? No, not everybody knows. In Krishna's Leela, there's different times of the day when Krishna does things. For example, when he wakes up in the morning, he's in the kunj with Srimati Radharani, and he has to be woken up by the different animals and the devotees. And he's with Radharani, and then they realize that it's time for him to go home, because if Mother Yashoda discovers he's not in his bed, he's in trouble. And so they so these are things that happen. He rushes out, and by accident he puts on Radharani's sari, and she puts on his dhoti. And so this happens in the early leela. And I'm not going to go through the Ashtakaliya leela now. So the Shikshashika relates to these different times of the day when different things happen. Different stages in devotional service. So it's a very interesting analysis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur does this analysis of the Shikshashika. There's eight times of the day in Krishna's day. From the morning to the late evening. So, any questions? Anyway, it's a little bit too esoteric for everyone here. So I think it's time to end. So we ask everyone to study these prayers of Srila Prabhupada, especially this year when Prabhupada's 50th anniversary of starting ISKCON is being celebrated. The best way to glorify Prabhupada is to basically read and talk about Prabhupada, read what Prabhupada has written. And the prayers of Prabhupada's like internal moods. And the also Prabhupada said the purports of Prabhupada's ecstasies. So the purports are very important too. One shouldn't just read the books and read the translations, but the purports.